any teaching that reduces Jesus to a man with special powers is a lie, and it is an expression of the spirit of Antichrist. So chapter 2 and verse 22, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller, and if you were to ask 10 different people what they believe about Jesus and who he is, you'd probably get 10 different answers. But Colin, today we're going to be looking at who God says Jesus is.
Yes, and that, of course, is what really matters. People, as you say, Steve, have all kinds of opinions that will live and die with them. The question is, what does God himself say about Jesus? And John answers that question for us very, very clearly. And we're going to see in the first letter of John what we also see clearly in the Gospels, that Jesus is the Christ and that Jesus is the Son of God. It's stated so clearly. We're going to look at what that means. We're going to look not only at what we believe about Jesus, but why we believe in Jesus. And the whole of this is because we want to grow in assurance. That is, we want to have greater peace and joy in being confident that we really do have peace with God and that we really are headed to heaven. And there are different ingredients in that. We've been looking at that throughout the first letter of John. One of them is clarity of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So this is really important that we're looking at today.
All right, we're looking at this from 1 John chapter 2, focusing in on verses 18 to 27. So join us there as we begin our message. Assurance grows as you believe in God's Son. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, 1 John, as we've seen, was written to answer a very practical question. How can I be sure that I'm a Christian? How do I know that I really know God? How do I know that I'm really in Christ? And John offers three signs. The first sign is that we obey God's commands. We saw that while no Christian obeys God's commands perfectly, all Christians begin to obey God's command. If that was not the case, then we would still be walking in darkness. The second sign that John gives to us is that we love God's people. Loving God's people is a sure sign that the love of God actually is in us. And today we come to the third sign, the third evidence of spiritual life, the third way that you can know that you know God and that you are in Christ, and that is that we believe in God's Son. Now, we begin today at chapter 2 and verse 18, where John says, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come." So notice John tells us that it is the last hour, that Antichrist is coming, and that already many Antichrists have come. So the Antichrist, singular, is a person who will oppose Christ and all that he stands for. This person will be the embodiment of evil, and he will arise at some point in the future. But notice that even in the first century, when John was writing, he says that there were many antichrists, plural. So now many antichrists have come. Now, when John speaks about antichrists, it would be very easy for us to picture a kind of semi-human figure with a dark cloak and horns. But what I want you to notice here is that John is talking about ordinary people. Ordinary people who once were in the church and now have departed from it. Chapter 2 and verse 19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us." Now, who were these people and what did they believe? Most likely, they were followers of a man by the name of Cerinthus. And these people believed that Jesus was a man who was born and died like anyone else. They denied the virgin birth. They said that Jesus was the son of Mary and Joseph. And they said that the Christ, by which they meant a heavenly power, came upon Jesus at his baptism, remained on him during his ministry, and then left him when he died. In other words, they saw Jesus as a very special person with remarkable powers and a special ministry. They saw him, therefore, as a kind of inspiration, as an example, showing what's possible for mortals like us when possessed by heavenly powers. And John is very clear that any teaching that reduces Jesus to a man with special powers is a lie, and it is an expression of the spirit of Antichrist. So chapter 2 and verse 22, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. So notice that John is concerned about two denials here. The liar denies that Jesus is the Christ, and the liar denies that Jesus is the Son of God. Robert Law, who I've mentioned before, says there are many lies and there are many liars, but he who utters this lie is the liar. The liar. Who is the liar, John says? He who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He who denies the Father and the Son. So this is the big lie. This is the arch lie that in some shape or form will go on being repeated down through the centuries, down through the course of history. And whenever you hear it, what you are hearing is the very voice of the Antichrist. Now today then, I want to focus on three things that arise directly from this theme in 1 John. The first is what we believe about Jesus. Hard to imagine anything more important for us than this, to be absolutely clear about what we believe in regards to Jesus. Second, why we believe in Jesus. And then thirdly, how we can use this teaching of these signs that we've been looking at in this first letter of John. So first then, what we believe about Jesus, and it's clearly pointed to in the verse that we've looked at already, chapter 2 and verse 22, we believe two things distinctly about Jesus, and the first is that Jesus is the Christ. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. So we saw chapter 2 and verse 22 that the Antichrist denies that Jesus is the Christ. But here John says the person who is born of God believes and confesses that Jesus is the Christ. In other words, the Christ is not some heavenly figure that came upon Jesus. No, Jesus is the Christ. And then in one of the most important statements in the New Testament regarding our Lord Jesus, in chapter 4 and verse 2, John says, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He's describing the incarnation, God becoming a man in Christ Jesus. And look for a moment at these words that John uses here. They are absolutely pregnant with meaning. Come points to where he was before. Before he was here with us, the Son of God shared the life of the Father in heaven. Has come, indicating that his coming was a historical event, and that it is an abiding reality. Flesh tells us that he really does share our human nature. God is spirit. So in taking flesh, the Son of God took upon himself that which is uniquely ours. He identified himself fully with us. Even the word in is loaded with significance. The Antichrists, they would have said that the Christ came into the flesh. John says, no, that's not what it is. The Word actually became flesh. God did more than indwell a man. God actually became a man. And the union of God's nature with ours is realized in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And this is why all our hope is in him, because Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. God had promised a Redeemer from the beginning of time, and God became the Redeemer that he had promised. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Assurance Grows as You Believe in God's Son. And if you joined us late, have to leave early, or you ever want to go back and listen to a broadcast again, or maybe one you missed, you can do that when you visit our website, openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen on the go if you have the Open the Bible app, and you'll find that for free at your app store. Or again, come and visit our website, openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
We believe that Jesus is the Christ, and then secondly, we believe that Jesus is God's Son. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Jesus is God's Son. He is the image of the invisible God. You can't see God, but in Jesus, we really do see him. He's the image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of his being. Jesus really is God in the flesh. He is one with the Father. So his words are the Father's words. His will is the Father's will. And his work is the Father's work. So in the Gospels, John tells us about an occasion where Philip, one of the disciples of Jesus, said to Jesus, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and still you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" Now, this is what we believe. Jesus is God's Son. To see him is to see the Father. To believe him is to believe the Father. To honor him is to honor the Father. He is in the Father and the Father is in him. So Christians believe that Jesus is the Christ and that Jesus is God's Son. And John brings these two together in chapter 5 and verse 20, where he says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him," that is the Father, "who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ." You see what he's saying? It's so wonderful. Jesus is one with the Father. So if you are in Christ, the Son, well, you are in God, the Father. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. we believe that Jesus is the Christ, and we believe that Jesus is God's Son. Now, why do we believe these things about Jesus? Why do we put our whole trust in him and stake our lives and our eternity on him? We need to have some good reason for doing that. And I want you to see how John lays this out in chapter 5 of this wonderful letter. The reason, he says, when you boil it all down, the reason that we believe what we believe about the Lord Jesus is the testimony of God himself. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Now, all of us have benefited from books that we have read, people that we have talked to, believers who have influenced us, people who have laid out their testimony or their reason for faith. We've all been molded and shaped by these things. But what John says here is really important, that the ultimate reason why we believe in Jesus is not because of anything that other people have said. It is what God himself has said about his Son. Notice that he uses the phrase, the testimony of God, not once but twice in this very important verse. Now, this matters because you could spend your entire life reading what people have said about Jesus. But there is one testimony about Jesus that matters more than any other, and that clearly is the testimony of God himself. What has God said in regards to Jesus? And John makes clear in these remarkable verses that the testimony of God, the testimony that really matters, has come to us in three ways: through the water, through the blood, and through the Spirit. Look at verse 7 and verse 8 of chapter 5. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. And this threefold testimony is, verse 9, the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Now, John is telling us that God testifies that Jesus is his Son through the water, through the blood, and through the Spirit. What's he referring to? Well, the water speaks of the baptism of Jesus. Remember when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God descended on him as a dove, and an audible voice from heaven declared, "This is my beloved Son." The testimony of God. Let me read Matthew 3 in verses 16 and 17. When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." We believe in Jesus because of the very word of God. The blood speaks of the death of Jesus. And God has testified that the one who died on the cross is his Son, and he testified to it, of course, by raising him from the dead. Think about this. We did our very worst to Jesus. I mean, mocking, spitting, scourging, crucifying him. But God said, "This is my Son," and demonstrated it by raising him from the dead. So the Apostle Paul says in Romans in chapter 1, he speaks about the gospel of God concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh. He was declared to be the Son of God in power by the resurrection from the dead. We believe in Jesus because of the word of the Father. We believe in Jesus because the Father raised him from the dead. And we believe in Jesus because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit who dwells in the hearts of all who believe. And Jesus said, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. What John is pointing to here, surely, is that God shows us personally that Jesus really is his son. And he convinces us of this wonderful truth by sending his Spirit into our hearts. So John says in chapter 5 and verse 10, whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony in himself. So you see, here is the threefold witness, the testimony of God, the testimony that matters more than any other ever could. God has declared that Jesus is his son through his baptism. He has demonstrated that Jesus is his son by raising him from the dead. And he has shown us that Jesus is his son by sending his Spirit into our hearts. God has borne testimony concerning his Son.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and next time we're going to continue this message and look at how we can use this teaching. So I hope you make it a point to join us. Our message is called Assurance Grows as You Believe in God's Son. And it's part of a much larger series all about the topic of assurance entitled, How Can I Be Sure? If you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We depend on your generosity to continue to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching each day. And as you give a gift of any amount, we want to offer you a copy of Donald McLeod's book, Faith Undaunted, Embracing Faith and Knowledge in a Post-Truth Era. And Colin, what is one thing that you'd like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I think Christians will often have heard someone warn against the dangers of just having head knowledge. And that's a very important thing to say. I mean, it's certainly possible to learn an awful lot of things about God, to be able to answer all kinds of quiz questions from the Bible and actually have very little experience indeed. But there's an opposite danger here, that we can actually retreat from truth into the world of experience. So, for example, I remember growing up singing a song about the resurrection of Jesus. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today, and so forth. And at the end, it says, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Now, there's a wonderful truth that Christ really does indwell the believer. But is that the only reason for believing that Christ is alive? Just your experience? Are there no other reasons? Is there no objective evidence of the resurrection? Well, of course there is. There's reason to believe. And this book by Donald McLeod is really helpful because it takes us back to the foundations of faith. There really is a God, and there's good reason, evidence for believing in God. The Bible is the Word of God, and there's reason for believing that the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus rose from the dead, and there's reason for believing that Jesus rose from the dead. It's not simply a matter of experience. Faith is based on God's revealed truth, and faith seeks understanding. And I think this book presents that in a really helpful way.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book. Faith Undaunted is our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can ask about it when you call 1-877-OPEN-365 or visit our website, openthebible.org. Again, our phone number is 1-877-673-6365, and the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
A single conversation can change your life, and that happened to me at a conference many years ago. Over lunch, I sat next to a pioneer missionary. He told me the story of how he'd made contact with an unreached tribal group in northern Thailand, how the tribal chief had invited him to make his home there, how he built his own home, and then learned the tribal language and began to serve these people. It was jaw-dropping stuff. At one point in the conversation, I asked him, "Where do you begin in explaining the gospel to people who don't even know who God is?" And he said, "We tell them the Bible story." Now, I'm convinced that we need to learn from the approach of pioneer missionaries in reaching lost people today. And that's why I wrote Fly Through the Bible. Fly Through the Bible is short, simple, and shareable. It's a place where someone in your life can begin. So who is there in your life who needs to know the God of the Bible and might be willing to open the Bible with you if you ask them? For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.